Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Maximus sitting in for Stoke, and we're rocking with you till 2 o'clock. It's of course all about the tournament today. A couple of games are already underway. You tell us how your bracket's doing. Be a part of the conversation at 303-713-1043. That's the ramoslaw.com text line. We did determine our bet. So Matt and I got a little action between ourselves as to who has the better bracket. And we both have different champions, right? So that's all good. I got Houston cutting down the nets. So I went pretty chalk.
Yeah, what's your final four? Now that we're here, rip the Band-Aid off of this thing.
It is Houston and UConn playing in the championship.
2-1 seeds.
And then 2-3 seeds on the other side. Baylor making a run to go take on UConn. And Creighton, who I'm not confident in at all, but that is what I ended up with in my final four. Baylor can shoot it, and they're a pretty solid defensive team, too.
How do you feel about Scott Drew?
Not great, but...
I am not a fan of Scott Drew. So for me, I have Baylor making a run, though.
Not to the Final Four.
Let's see, in my only bracket that I did, because I only definitely did one bracket.
Sure, of course.
My Final Four, let's see, I've got Connecticut, North Carolina, Kentucky, which, God, I feel terrible about a Calipari team in the Final Four.
I can't root for Kentucky.
I like their draw, though. They got a chance. And then Purdue, which, again, don't feel good about Purdue. They haven't made it past the round of 64 in 3 years. You figure you got the best team in the country for the majority of the year, at least one of them. Once in every 4 years, you get out of the round of 64, and who knows, maybe you make a run. So,
but it's like you said, you got to have guard play, and they do everything through, Ivy? Or not Ivy, Edie?
Edie.
The big
Edie,
Ivy was Jaden Ivy Edie. On the team last year.
And then in the title game, Carolina and Purdue.
Oh, really?
I got Carolina as a champ. I was actually reading yesterday that when North Carolina has gotten a one seed in the NCAA tournament, they have a 75% chance based upon their history to make it to the Final Four.
Really?
Every time they've gotten a one seed. And if you think about the team, R.J. Davis, he's been far. And Armando Bacot, unbelievably, is still playing in college.
Was he 50?
At this stage. So, yeah, I'm going to rock with the experience. I like that they've got a couple of other guards there that can score a little bit, too. And, again, not a bad draw for them. So, again, I got UConn, UNC, Kentucky, Purdue.
Okay.
Don't feel good about any of them.
Yeah, I don't feel great either. Houston, like I said, I've watched a couple of Houston games this year. I watched them actually play Baylor, and it was a hell of a battle between the two.
But what were your upsets?
I didn't have a ton. I had James Madison winning on the 5-12 side, which is Wisconsin. So I have them beating James Madison, but then losing to freaking Duke, of course.
Mm.
But that's kind of it for me as far as upsets. I also like Nevada over Dayton 10-7, but it's
love
not a huge
one.
Upset either.
I love that
Nevada's
one.
Good.
Nevada is a good program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they do pull that off, they could give Arizona real problems. I've got Northwestern over FAU.
Is that 8-9?
That's 8-9. Yep. That's 8-9. FAU made the run to the Final Four last year and has most of the same team. Northwestern, though, Boo Booey, one of the best scorers in the country. If they can get a couple of other guys to produce, Northwestern can beat just about anybody. In fact, they could give Purdue a hard time, too.
Really?
In fact, yes. Drake, I've got over Washington State.
I have that, too, yeah.
I didn't like the way Washington State played in the Pac-12 tournament. They had a really nice season, and they've got a great story. They got a true redshirt freshman. The kid's name is Miles Rice.
Mm-hmm.
He overcame leukemia treatment last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so really cool story. He's been a great player this year.
And great music, of course.
Miles Rice?
Drake.
Okay. God, you throw me off sometimes with some of these. Texas A&M over Nebraska, because, of course.
Really?
Yes,
Nebraska's good, dude.
Nebraska's never won a tournament game in school history.
Really?
Never.
See,
I wouldn't pull for Nebraska.
I understand.
I mean, if my life was on the line.
I respect that about you.
I do have James Madison over Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the reason being, James Madison this year, 17-0 when they shoot at least 37% from three, And Wisconsin allows teams 37.5% from three.
Look at you.
So I like some of those numbers there. Let's see a little bit further.
I also, another one I had was New Mexico 11 over Clemson in round one, but then they run into the Baylor Bears, who I have making a deep run. But I was close about New Mexico maybe being my sleeper team that snuck into the round of 16.
Is that the sexiest upset pick this year,
it
New Mexico?
It feels like it, yeah.
Yeah. I was reading that New Mexico being the 11 seed, that 6 seed matchup there with Clemson. Clemson had an okay year, a bit up and down. Obviously, New Mexico went all the way, mm-hmm. won the Mountain West Tournament Championship. The thing is, when you've got an 11 seed that's favored over a 6, I think in the last 11 games, the 11 seed is 10-1 straight up.
Really?
Yeah. Damn. And that would also apply to Oregon and South Carolina. Yep. So we'll keep our eyes there. I also have that matchup, that upset.
You have Oregon?
I do have Oregon. Again, Dana Altman has never lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Man.
Ever. So, again, I think that's impressive. The other one I have is TCU over Utah State.
Okay. Which is also 8-9.
Which is also an 8-9.
How's yours looking? Who's your final four? Text us. We'd love to hear what your bracket looks like on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. All right, let's get back to the Buffs and Broncos last night. 60 points was the outcome for CU. 52 of them came from Tristan Da Silva, KJ Simpson, and the big fellow Lampkin.
Feel like you probably ought to clarify which Broncos.
The Boise State
Broncos. Yes, the Boise State Broncos.
It'd be awesome if the Buffs played the Denver Broncos in hoops. I would love to see that.
Who wins?
Wow. I might have to go with the Buffs. They just know how to win.
I guess so. I feel like the Broncos are just shoving them around.
Kinda, yeah. It's too big.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever played, like, playing basketball against a football player?
Sucks.
It's a nightmare for the basketball player.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
They're uncoordinated. They're tripping over their feet, but they're running into you the whole time. So it would probably get a little ugly.
Senior year of high school, you always run into a couple of guys who play, like, offensive line and post, you know, one year, and you're just like, God, this guy's huge. You can't move him out of the lane.
With it being 52 of the 60 from those three, do you look at that as, well, they're the core. That's how it's supposed to look. Those guys are supposed to score that amount of points. Or do you look at it and go, eh, that's a tough break there, old Cody Williams and the rest of the guys coming off of the bench?
I look at it and think instantly that that's an unsustainable recipe to go much further, right? Tristan Da Silva last night was great. Maybe his best game of the year. He had some good ones down the stretch. But look, CU's won 10 of their last 11 at this stage, or is it 9 of their last 10 at this stage. That's a pretty good roll heading into the tournament, and obviously you go down to the wire there in the Pac-12 tournament final. So do I think it's sustainable? I'm not sure. Florida is going to be missing their best player for that matchup tomorrow. I was impressed with the Buffs' toughness last night. That is a game that they typically lose the way it was headed in the early going in the second half. And then what you saw was them kind of bow their backs and get physical too, which doesn't happen a ton for that program. They looked, just from a physicality standpoint, mm-hmm. that Boise State was bigger than them.
Yeah.
That's a concern, right? I mean, Boise State shouldn't be a bigger program than you. But last night, you got just enough down the stretch. And Colorado did not execute well for most of the second half. Mm-hmm. But the last 4 minutes of the game, they tightened it up a little bit. Now, they had trouble with the baseline inbound, which was a problem there, full court trying to break the press. But outside of that, they did just enough. So, yeah, Buffs move on, man, which it's a huge win for Tad.
I wonder about Da Silva, and you're going to know better than I watching the amount of games you've watched him play. When a stronger defender, like is that when he tends to shut down? And
yes.
That's what you're going to get, right? A bigger defender, somebody that's a little bit stronger, thicker than he is. He's got the length, but he doesn't have the build that you're necessarily looking for.
Up until the last couple of weeks, yeah. And the last few weeks, he showed some pride, which I've been impressed with. I mean, it hasn't all been pretty, but typically those guys, I mean, he's a twig still. He really never put it. His older brother, Oscar Da Silva, who played for Stanford, Oscar put on some weight my senior year. Oh, he's a thick guy, much thicker than Tristan. Tristan never got there, you know, body-wise. Mm-hmm. I saw yesterday that Tristan Da Silva is like the 34-ranked player on the NBA draft board for this draft.
I mean, dude, his, like I said, every time I watch him, like, you go, that guy's got a ceiling that's pretty dang impressive, what he could turn into.
It's just consistency for him. And maybe he's starting to turn a little bit of a corner. Again, your last hurrah in college. This is now or never. Mm-hmm. It's do or die. You got to show up and play. And last night, he was the reason they won.
It was a big night for the Buffaloes. How do you feel about their chances now moving on to take on Florida tomorrow? Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line. We'll hear a little bit from Tad when we have the bus conversation coming up next. But let's go back up. Well, I guess we're going to kind of stay in Boulder, but go to actual Boulder, not Dayton here, and hear a bit more from Dion. What can he do better as the Buffs head coach in his sophomore season? You'll hear him answer that question next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Stoke is awesome. Enjoying some downtime. It's Matt Smith sitting in today, plus yourself. Always appreciate you guys being a part of the show. A couple quick texts before we hear some Dion. I actually like this, and it's a couple people sending it in. I see a 408. I see a 720. They're calling Da Silva the MPJ of the Colorado Buffaloes.
God, that's a good
that's a really good comp, right?
Yeah, that's a good comp because he frustrates you sometimes.
But he's got all that talent, and you go, hey, if that guy turns it on and plays the game he's capable of playing, it's going to be pretty dang tough to beat this squad.
They're both rounding into form right about the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, MPJ, I know we haven't talked about the Nuggets from the other night. Maybe we'll get into
it here.
But, wow, was I impressed with MPJ the other night.
Just post-All-Star game, 14 games post-All-Star game, he has been solid.
He was the reason they won that game.
Yeah. Yeah, his really fourth quarter, 7-0 run by himself.
He was really good.
He was really good. I got a guy who listens to the show who gets after me on Instagram about MPJ. He's like his favorite player. He's got all of his jerseys and his tattoo, his name on his arm. I made that last part.
Okay.
Up.
I hope so. Good. Okay.
But he actually sent me a message yesterday. He's like, oh, you're changing your tune on Michael Porter Jr. To which I said, you know how this works, Matt, radio. Like, when we get new information, opinions change. It's a weird concept, but yeah, that's how it feels right now with MPJ and Tristan Da Silva. Really good comp there, Texters. Nice work. All right, let's go to Prime. You were up there yesterday. You talked about this a little bit earlier, but let's hear it from Dion. What does he have to be better at in year two as the Buffaloes head coach?
For me, in-game things that may happen, you can't prepare yourself for everything, but you try to. But some things that you want to change, just the thought process going into it. But it's going to be tremendous, much better communication. First of all, we have microphones in the helmets now, so the direct, you know, we can talk right to the quarterback or right to the linebacker and get the calls in. That's going to be phenomenal. That's going to help tremendously. I wish it was several guys on each side of the ball, which would be tremendous. But in-game type of things, you can't be prepared for them, but you got to think through all of them. And I think we may have missed the boat a couple occasions. But overall, I think it was a good season when it comes to that. But I'm very harsh on myself, much more harsh than you guys are. But we're going to win.
We're going to win. I like that there at the end. I really like that answer from Dion. That's Dion being genuine, real, having an open conversation with guys and gals in that room. And then I think he also made another great point, Matt, that had slipped my mind. The helmet communication coming to the college game 60 years too late. Maybe not 60, but why did it take this long? That obviously is going to help some of that communication from the sideline as well.
Make a giant difference.
Huge difference.
It's gonna take a couple of years to really fully kick in, I think, as far as like...
Why is that?
Well, I think you're just going to have to get some of these kids used to it because nobody's ever done it before. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is in the NFL, a quarterback has a microphone in their helmet so they can talk to the OC and they could be on the mics as well. And so does the guy who wears the green dot defensively.
Yeah.
It might be a safety, might be a middle linebacker, but somebody on the defensive side of the ball makes those calls. I don't know who it's going to be for the Buffs. Maybe it's Shiloh. Maybe. I'd be a little surprised if it's... You don't really want a guy that far back.
Right.
You'd rather have a linebacker doing that, mm-hmm. So maybe they find somebody. But I'll say, you're no longer going to see those ridiculous cards on the sideline that have the goofy logos on them that they're holding up. And you know how every time, you know, a college team, if they're trying to play fast, everybody will get up to the line and then they'll look back to the sideline because they're waiting for signals. Most of that stuff isn't going to happen anymore. Maybe you'll see some teams playing with how they want to use pace, because you can go fast tempo if you huddle, rush up to the line, and then back off and look on the sideline. Yeah. You can kind of play a little chess with your opponent in that regard. So, that's a big difference in college football this year.
I always try to figure out the plays. Like, when they put a photo, I'm like, all right, there's a photo.
What does Roadrunner mean?
Of Dan Tanner from Full House and Lightning McQueen. So I'm like, okay, Full House said they're going to run the football, right? That's kind of where my brain went. I always try to figure out what they're trying to do upon those photos.
You just never know what all that language could mean. So, yeah, that's
true. And some of them are dummies, and it doesn't even matter.
But to bring up the more important part of what he just mentioned, that is really the first time that he is fully admitted to them missing the boat.
Yeah.
When questioned about it immediately after games, he's typically too emotional to really dive into it, and he's very defensive. Like, there are several different game management situations last year that cost them football games.
How much of that, and from our perspective, what's the DC's name, Charles Kelly?
It was. Now it's Robert Livingston.
Because yeah. Charles Kelly, I mean, it's perception. On the sideline, when you're watching the Buffs games, he's losing his mind. He's yelling at guys because they can't get guys on and off the field in the right time. And it's easy for me as the viewer to go, well, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. How much of that, though, falls with Prime being the guy at the top of the coaching?
Everything falls on his shoulders. He is the one ultimately responsible. But Kelly left to go be the co-defensive coordinator at Auburn, which was his alma mater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his alma mater. He actually interviewed last year before he took the CU job, but did not get it. Okay. And then they gave him the co-DC spot this year because he's a recruiter, too. He's widely regarded as one of the better recruiters in the country. Right. So now they've got Livingston in. And I'll tell you, yesterday was the first time I met Livingston. You know, any of us met Livingston. Really nice guy, really well-spoken, and I like the fact that he's younger. I think he's going to be able to relate to the modern player. He spent, I think it was like 9 years in the Bengals franchise.
Love that.
And primarily as a safeties and secondaries coach working under Lou Anarumo. He told us, though, he doesn't have a scheme that he's bringing in. Remember, this is a first-time defensive coordinator, Josh. He's never called plays defensively before. And this is such a massive year for the Buffs. What I think happened personally in the search for a DC, I think Prime was waiting out Mike Zimmer and waiting to see if Zimmer got any NFL opportunities. So Dan Quinn takes the Washington job late in the process. I think he was the last coach hired in this NFL coaching cycle. Well, when he left, then that meant they were looking for a DC. Then they interviewed Mike Zimmer. Well, that was late in the process. I can't remember exactly what day it was, but that was, I mean, in February, I believe, at that stage. And then a couple of days later, Robert Livingston got hired. So one of the things I was curious about, because clearly you go, Robert Livingston, who the hell is this guy? How did Prime even find this guy? Well, apparently, right after the NFL season ended, they talked. Because that was something, the timeline, I was very curious about, because clearly it doesn't seem like this would be his first choice. So it seems like he's going to try and adapt his defensive scheme to what they have. Okay. It's a bold move to make this hire. I think, though, he has a really bright future as a coach. All you hear about Livingston is that, you know, he's really bright, great communicator, and he's a really fast riser in the ranks. Because he's in his 30s still, I'm pretty sure. So... But again, you need it to work this year. It's going to be tough if there's too much on-the-job learning. So I wonder how much more time Prime is going to have to spend kind of overseeing that side of the football. Because Pat Shermer's on the other side. I mean, you want to be able to oversee Pat, and they will. But that's more of a situation where you don't have to worry about that as much because you've got Shadur and you've got Pat.
You're not going to micromanage that side.
Exactly.
I had another question. I was actually thinking about this last night, catching up on your Twitter timeline, and go check out Real Matt Smith with all the stuff you did in Boulder yesterday. And I'm at Joshua Dover if you want to check mine out too. I started thinking about Warren Sapp. Remember all that stuff? What happened there? Because it was Warren was talking publicly that it was going to happen with he and Dion. Dion said his name publicly a couple of different times, and then he never showed up.
Weird situation. Sapp went back to school to go get his degree last year so he could be a coach. I've heard a couple of different things.
You gotta have a degree to be a coach.
You do have to have a degree to be a coach in college.
Wonder I've never got the job opportunity.
Exactly. What was the what was the guy's name? Steve Massiello from Manhattan. What was it? Maybe 5-6 years ago, coached in the tournament, and then they found out he never had a degree.
That's right.
So he had to leave the job with the Manhattan Jaspers and then go back to school. So you have to have a degree. So Sapp allegedly, so he got his degree, and it sounds like it's still happening, but it's not a done deal yet. I think he's got some domestic violence issues in his past.
Oh, I did not know that.
I mean, he's a bit of a loose screw, okay? He's a live wire. Now, I think he's dialed some of that in, I think if Prime had his druthers, he'd probably already be there. Mm-hmm. But I think the university was like, hey, just let's cross all of our T's and dot our I's here before we actually, you know, probably give smart. This guy a job.
Probably smart.
So I'm not sure if that's still happening. The last I was going to get to it, but again, you got one question for Deion. I'm not going to waste it on Warren Sapp.
You're a smart man. You're a smart man. All right, Buffalo's fans, how you feeling about it? Did you take in what Prime had to say yesterday? We'll get a little bit deeper into that as the show rolls on. I do want to have that conversation, though, Matt. What the heck is happening with baseball's biggest star? He's in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. We'll tell you what cost Shohei Ohtani's interpreter his job and how much trouble Shohei himself could be in. That's next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Let's talk a little bit about baseball's biggest story right now, and it has nothing to do with what's happening in Korea. I guess kind of, but not on the field, or what's happening in any of the spring training locations. It's all about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. He allegedly, Matt Smith, who's sitting in for Stoke, has a gambling addiction, and there's been a couple of different varieties of what this story is. There was a $4.5 million tab paid from an account of Shohei Ohtani. Like the wire transfer of that $4.5 million allegedly came from this account that Shohei Ohtani has his name on. But what Major League Baseball is saying and what Shohei's camp is saying is that it was the interpreter stealing money is one of the reports I said or read. Another report was that Shohei was gifting the money to help his buddy and pay off the gambling debt that was. But man, the Dodgers fired this guy, the interpreter. Everybody's trying to save some face at this point. I think there are so many layers to this story. I'm having a hard time buying that it was the interpreter doing all the gambling and the betting and all those things. Like, I guess we got to give Shohei benefit of the doubt for the time being, but $4.5 million worth of gambling debt? Okay, sure. Some guy could probably do that, but it just seems like a very strange story that I'm having a hard time buying everything that's being sold right now.
Yeah, so to go back a little bit, it was a $4.5 million wire transfer to an illegal bookmaker offshore.
In Southern California that's being investigated right now by federal investigators.
So here's basically a synopsis of the ESPN kind of expose that came out. Ohtani's name comes up in a federal investigation. Ohtani's team, like his representatives, mm-hmm. say Shohei transferred the money to the bookkeeper to pay his translator's debt.
Yep.
So allegedly the translator has, you know, like you said, an addiction. Obviously, you get in a hole, you start chasing. Well, now you got to start chasing bigger to get back to even. And then all of a sudden, you're buried under it. And if you're playing big numbers like this, you can rack up $4.5 million before you say Bob's your uncle, okay? And I'm just saying, when you have that kind of bankroll.
Yeah.
But we got to think about a couple of things here. If an offshore book is giving you a line of credit of $4.5 million, they better believe that you have some real backing, and you probably have to show them some collateral mm-hmm. in that regard. So I think the first question is, well, why does an interpreter have a $5 million line of credit with an offshore book unless they know that he's got serious backing? That's
they know who he is interpreting
right, that's
for.
Red flag number one, mm-hmm. right? Well, okay, so the team, Ohtani's representatives, say that Shohei transferred the money to pay his debts, which $5 million to pay somebody's debt? I mean, I don't even know who I would do that for.
I don't have any friends that I would do that for.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I don't know if I have any family.
I mean, maybe if somebody, regardless, okay. it would be tough to find that person, mm-hmm. okay? So then what happened? Ohtani's representatives send the interpreter to do an interview for like an hour with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
During the interview, the interpreter states that Ohtani never gambled, okay? He says that Shohei felt bad for him, so he paid off the debt for him.
Okay.
Maybe these guys are, you know, as thick as thieves and
sure.
best friends and like brothers, okay?
And I also, if that's the case, we all look at it and go, $4.5 million for your buddy? $4.5 million to Shohei is light years difference than what it is to Matt Smith and I.
Thanks. That goes well.
Yeah.
that's
what I'm saying. Like, it's easy. I'm not paying a $4.5 million tab. I might pay my buddy's $250 tab, and it might be the same apples to apples.
Okay. Fair. So essentially, he does the interview. Then Ohtani's team comes back to ESPN and says, no. The story he told you was a lie. They said he was lying and that there has been a, quote, massive theft.
Mm-hmm.
So after they claim that Shohei gave him the money because he felt bad and paid off his debts, they sent him to do an interview with ESPN. He said that Shohei's just being a good buddy. Well, now they come back, Ohtani's team, and say to ESPN, no, he was lying. He stole it. Well, now they're changing the story. So now is where the story really gets interesting, okay? So then they're in Seoul, South Korea right mm-hmm. now. So Ohtani and his interpreter, they partake in the series game. In the game one, and there were shots of them in the dugout, you know, being real buddy-buddy yeah. and all this. Okay, so then Ohtani's interpreter tells ESPN that Shohei actually had no knowledge of his gambling debts and that he stole it from him. So originally, Shohei felt bad for him, so he gave him the money. Well, now Shohei's team says, no, he stole it. And then the interpreter comes out and admits that he was lying, or at least goes along with the second version of the story, and says Shohei never knew about any of this, and that he, quote, and how about this line, never bet on baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Never bet on, unprovoked said that.
Yep.
Because obviously Ohtani's representatives talked to him after the first ESPN interview, realized they didn't have their bases covered, and then went back to him saying, you better make sure Shohei's not implicated in any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens? This is the strangest part. The interpreter after the game in Seoul, South Korea, is brought up in front of the team in the clubhouse to address the entire team. He says a story's going to come out. Just so you know, I'm preempting it. It's all my fault. And remember, an hour ago, they were in the dugout, you know, laughing it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so now he gets fired, and then the chaos ensues. So now we're in a situation where there's a lot of speculation that he's the fall guy for Shohei.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Maybe. We'll see. The offshore book came out and said, the one that he actually sent the money to, came out and said the only communication they ever had was with the interpreter. Okay. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Shohei wasn't giving him the money to make some of those wagers for him.
Mm-hmm.
We could be on the brink of arguably, and we went through the whole steroid era, we went through the Pete Rose thing. This could be one of, if not the biggest scandal in the history of sports, if more information comes out that Shohei is somehow involved here.
And there was bets on baseball. The other stuff I don't care that much about.
I think that's kind of where we're going with all of this.
Oh, I agree. And you're absolutely right. It's the three different stories of what it's been. It seems like what it started as was, holy cow, we're in some trouble. How can we save face and make sure Shohei isn't the bad guy here? And then they started to go, well, man, he might even be in trouble if he's admitting to wiring the money in the first place to a off-site gambling, offshore gambling company. That is an issue in itself. And then that's exactly what it is, Matt. This is Shohei's team saying, hey, interpreter, you're going to take the fall for this. You are going to be our fall guy. That wasn't Carmelo's backpack. It was this guy's backpack. That's everything that this is. And you're absolutely right about it being a giant story, because this is what every league has feared since sports gambling has become legal in a lot of states. And there's still some states that don't allow it, but this is exactly what the NFL has feared, what Major League Baseball is obviously fearing, and now having to deal with NBA, the NHL, everything. This could be the biggest story about sports gambling in the history of sports gambling. And it's far from over, but Matt, I don't see this. Baseball needs Shohei a lot. They need him maybe more than he needs them. Because he can go do his thing in his homeland and be a star and collect millions and millions of dollars. They are going to do anything they can, just like they did with old Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, to cover their eyes and let this pass in the night so that Shohei can still be the superstar that he is and command the attention that he commands, and they can create the revenue that they create based on who he is. This will go away for Shohei Ohtani. It should not, but it will go away.
I don't know. Conventionally, you think that yes, but there will be people that dig into this extensively. baseball has those type of journalists, okay? I mean, we all get upset because nobody ever really came out with the real story of what happened with Val, with Wal. That ain't happening with baseball. These guys got nothing better to do sitting there watching a baseball game. No. They will figure it out eventually. But where this gets interesting is, let's just say Otani is suspended at some point because they tie it back to mm-hmm. him. You know he's not pitching this year because of the Tommy John surgery. Right. He's gonna bat, but he's not going to pitch. If there were any year for him to sit out, it would be this year.
Mm.
Just putting it out there, if for some reason it happens, just think about it in the back of your mind. Now, the Dodgers paid him a lot of money, but what did they do with it? They deferred it way down the line. So they're not paying him anything this year.
Yeah.
Now, this is all coming out a week before opening day. Baseball cannot get out of their own way one way or another.
Absolutely.
And this is partially why the sport is dying, because it's taking too much of the focus off of the field. So, yeah, we're going to find out. This is just the first layer to this onion.
Yeah, I like that you're hinting at like an MJ type of, oh, I'm going to go play baseball. I bet you did, Michael. I bet that's what you were doing there.
I'm just saying we don't have nearly enough information yet, but it got a couple of red flags here.
Okay.
The red flag here, what offshore book is given a $5 million line of credit to an interpreter without knowing that they've got a backer?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's number one. Number two is, well, you changed the story up after you allowed the interpreter to go do the ESPN interview. Well, did you get upset about maybe some things that he said and maybe he didn't cross... Weird. The Japanese interpreter did not line up your story completely here for an English-speaking publication. Yeah. Strange. You know, I could see them playing that card, too. So we'll see.
A good text here from the 309. How does the interpreter not have a contract with baseball with a no-betting clause? I would assume they do. He's not hired by Shohei. He was hired because he got fired yesterday by the Dodgers.
Well, he was an Otani employee for a while, but then I think when Otani came over, he was probably hired by the team because he was an employee of the Angels. So then he was an employee of the Dodgers.
I see.
And I'm sure that Shohei was taking care of his buddy and making sure he got a salary and at a living wage, more than a living wage, clearly. So we'll see. It's going to be really fascinating. And I don't know how you feel about it, but the Dodgers, the way they operated this offseason, they basically loaded up and then put the bill due in 10 years.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I can't remember, the Yamamoto, I think, is the pitcher that they signed for Japan.
Yeah.
They paid a pitcher like $100 million. Mm-hmm. This guy was a star in Japan. Well, he made his first start yesterday, and he got rocked. He didn't even make it an inning.
Yeah, I saw some highlights.
So I am thrilled here. I was an Otani fan before, but now that he plays for the Dodgers, I can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that there was also, like, if his name wasn't Shohei Otani, this would be, they'd be asking him to walk away for a few moments while this gets all sorted out and figured out. But I think baseball is going to do everything they can to protect the cash cow that is Shohei Otani. That's what will happen, because that's what Major League Baseball does. All right, let's update some games going on in the big tournament. Talk about brackets being busted already. A few of these first games are starting to wind down into the first half. We'll give you an update next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a couple games underway. We have on in studio here Michigan State, Mississippi State. They're in the second half at the 10-minute mark there, and the Spartans are handling some business. BYU in some trouble at halftime, trailing by 8, and then Akron-Creighton is underway in the first half as well, with Creighton holding on to a small lead. This is the best day. This is where all the crazy upsets will come, when your bracket starts to get filled up with the red highlighter as opposed to the yellow highlighter. Do you have a system, red highlighter, yellow highlighter, or what do you do?
I fill out my bracket and I leave it.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. Like, do you actually print one and carry it around, or are you just checking your online?
I definitely am not carrying in my bracket around the pocket. No, maybe on the phone. Yeah, I got it on the phone. Yeah.
This is the first year that I'm not carrying around the bracket in my pocket guy, and I got to tell you, I feel weird. I want to have something in my hand to be able to look at.
Hey, guys, why don't we print out a bracket for Josh so he doesn't start freaking out here? I mean, honestly, we want him to make it through the rest of the show.
Yeah, there is one sitting right next to you, Matt.
All right, well, why don't you fold it up, put it in your pocket?
Yeah, okay, perfect. That's exactly what I'll do.
You going to be okay?
I'll manage.
Okay.
I'll manage.
Just making sure.
I appreciate you caring. But yeah, it is the first half. Some of these games winding down. We're waiting for some of the endings to come to see if somebody can pull off an upset. Want to remind you that Zach and Phil are going to be over at Stoney's this afternoon taking in all the games. So go hang out, kick it with those guys. Stoney's is always a great place. TV's wall to wall, of course. So go catch your action right there. Are you surprised that BYU's struggling early?
They're down 8 to Duquesne at half. Yeah, it's been a back-and-forth game. They were down about 10 right out of the chute. Then they tied it up about 20s, and then Duquesne went on a bit of a run there to end the first half. That look, people are talking about Duquesne being a good team, being able to score the ball. Well, BYU is one of the better shooting three-point teams all year, so a little bit of a surprise. That's an 11-6. BYU's got some work cut out for them, certainly, in the second half here.
And then with what we are looking at, for CSU, coming up here today. Expectations for CSU, what are you thinking there in regards to Isaiah Stevens? I think Isaiah's going to play better. It was a 4-5-6 night, right? 4 assists, 5 points, 6 rebounds is what he had in their play-in first four game. But you had Neat Clifford and Joel Scott go off. Now, you still need Neat Clifford and Joel Scott to be who they were. But, Matt, if they can do that, Cartier knocking down a couple of big threes the way he was able to do it in that first half, and then you get Isaiah Stevens to turn it on. I like the Rams to get one done today. It'd be a 10-7, so looked as an upset. I don't really feel it as that.
See, I feel the other way.
You do?
Yeah, I feel the opposite. I just think, look, this is probably the worst version of Texas we've seen in a little while, but they got some players who've been in the tournament. Max Abmas, you know, guard, he can fill it up. Shorter guy, can really shoot the ball. And look at their last few games here. They lost to Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament, 78-74. That's a good Kansas State team. Not a great Kansas State team, but a solid one. And then they beat Oklahoma, who was a bubble team, probably should have made it in over Virginia. And then they lost to Baylor by, 8 points? So, look, that's a really good Baylor team, 93-85, the score of that game. I appreciate what CSU is doing. I just think eventually it's going to catch up to them. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't today. It's a 2.5-point spread on this game, which surprises me a lot.
Yeah, too.
It really does. So I've got Texas here today. I'm rooting for the Rammies, though. But this, you know, somebody brought that up to me after the Virginia game. They go, you know, you picked Virginia on air today. I go, oops. Of course, I thought Virginia would come out. We haven't had a chance to talk about that game either yet. That was arguably the worst, and I mean this, worst performance I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament from that Virginia team. Mm-hmm. Seton Hall sitting at home, St. John's, Oklahoma, go down the list of bubble teams. All those teams should have been Indiana State should have been furious that Virginia made it in.
Mm-hmm.
That was embarrassing.
I told Will yesterday, if I were, you know, father of a young college kid and that Virginia was in the conversation about going to play basketball there, obviously it's the kid's decision, but I would certainly try to sway him otherwise. Why would any kid that has NBA aspirations go play that brand of basketball?
You know what's interesting is I was actually reading about this, and maybe this is a little bit niche, but Virginia may be affected by the NIL era more than many teams. Because if you think back to the dynamic and the structures of some of those Tony Bennett teams, they're developed players over, you know, 4-year careers as seniors. And Virginia, they have higher academic standards, and there's a lot of grad programs there. So, you know, it's tougher in today's world of college basketball. So maybe not a surprise when you really take a step back and look at it 30,000-foot view. But I thought it was an impressive performance from CSU. We talked about Lake and Palmer hitting threes. Clifford was fantastic.
Dude,
I thought
he was great.
Neek,
both ends of the floor, too.
So Neek's got a year left if he wants it. I was talking to some people up there who think he's going to go pro after this year.
Really?
I think that's a mistake.
I mean, if he has a couple of more games the way he had in the first four, he'll get some. It's not like he's going to be a lottery pick, but he might get a second round nod.
And this is hard to convince a college kid to do when we're talking about leaving money on the table. And typically, I'm the guy that says, hey, look, you got a chance to be drafted, go in the first round. But for Neek, I think this is a player where, all right, we're going to set you up with an NBA trainer over the summer. You're going to come back next year and try and win Mountain West.
Do that, you're saying.
You're going to try and win Mountain West Player of the Year next year. You're going to be our number one option next season. You've got the ability defensively. He's just got to be able to score the ball more consistently. Mm-hmm. And if he does, he's 6'6". He's got great length. He's a good athlete. I could see him sneaking into the back end of the first round off a fantastic, fifth year next season.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But, tough to convince a 22-year-old of that. So.
Well, it's tough to tell them, hey, come back here, go to class, do all the stuff that you have to do, make no money, or...
Well, he can make some. He would make some. It just, he'd make probably like 70 grand at CSU.
You think he's going to make that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Isaiah Stevens, I think, got like 100 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually a much bigger number than I thought any Ram would get.
It made no sense for Isaiah to come back to CSU. None. I mean, he got offers from everywhere around the country. They were going to have to pony up a little bit to get him to stay. I mean, for him personally, look, if he stayed, which he did, you better make it count. Mm-hmm. So they got a big one tonight. What is it, 5 o'clock tip-off with Texas?
I think, yeah, 450 it might be.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, I don't... I guess 70 grand at 20 is nice. But I mean, yeah. You go to the NBA, you're going to make more than 70 grand.
But he's not going to the NBA. He's going to be a G League guy at the most or go play in Europe. Right. You never, ever, if that's the best shot you got and you got more eligibility, stay or transfer. One of the two. You just, once you're done with college ball, that's it. And if you don't put yourself in a good enough position to at least be drafted or looked upon favorably by the NBA, it's over. And you're going to, you know, Belgium or Serbia or, you know, Israel or wherever to go play basketball. And then you're alone, away from your family. You're making some money, but it's nothing close.
Right.
But this is the thing, and I run into this. I trained some guys in college and, like, you know, over the years. And if you are going to come back, you got to do it right. Your heart has to be in it. Because if you come back and you don't do as well, then you just fall off, man. So... if I were in Neek's ear, I'd be telling him, hey, look, let's go get you an NBA trainer this summer. I want you doing nothing but ball handling, dribbling, shooting the basketball, and then you're going to come back, try and win Mountain West Player of the Year next year.
Yeah, he's going to be a big piece of the Rams and their battle today against Texas. It is 450. It's at TNT. Like I said, go down to Stoney's and hang out with Zach and Phil. They'll be watching that game down there live, and you can hang out with them as they watch. All right, let's come back, take a time out here, get into our lunch hour, keep the conversation going about what the Rams and the Buffs can do in this tournament, and look ahead a little bit to what the Nuggets have tonight, because the Knicks are in town for the only time this season. We'll touch on all of it next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.